Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, I'm Paco Romain.
And I'm George Chen.
And this is SubDoc, a show where we talk to interesting people with strong opinions about their favorite documentaries.
On today's episode, we discuss the 2001 documentary Home Movie, directed by Chris Smith. Home Movie is a look at five unusual homes and the people who built or adapted them.
And our guest today is the hilarious comedian Amy Miller. Amy Miller's new comedy album, Solid Gold, is on Kill Rock Stars and available November 29th. Welcome, Amy Miller.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to SupDoc.
Hi to you and the cats also.
There's the cats. There's Mosby.
They love you. These cats love Amy.
They do. Oh my, I've never
they
seen.
They flocked to me when I got here.
They flocked to you.
I got jealous.
As
I
if wanted... you were a like tuna covered mouse.
I'm controlling their brains.
You are. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Right now, people can't see this, but both the cats are dancing on two legs.
It's weird.
The reality, it is weird. The reality is enough. It's like the New York Library. It's like just one perched on
they're
each side of this giant
they're
throne.
They're doing my taxes for me.
They are doing your taxes. They're looking for some deductions. But like we've had, how many pictures did we take so far with Mosby the cat?
Oh, a lot of the episodes do have, probably four of them have Mosby, and or someone else's cat.
Like yeah.
With Julia, it was her cat, so yeah.
Yeah, that is true.
We are, and it's that ties into the theme of the day,
cat
the
people.
Actual documentary we're gonna,
yeah,
at least part of it. But yeah, Amy is a comic that we knew in San Francisco. I think we started probably,
and you know me here,
and also
that's
here,
what's nice,
and also weirdly, like I was neighbors with you or your sister at some point.
Yeah, my sister in Oakland,
still in the same place, but yeah.
Yeah.
What's your sister's name?
She still lives there. Her name's Renee.
Nice.
Miller.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
She's one of the. One of the ones with the same dad. Oh, no, she doesn't have the same dad. What am I saying?
All your siblings are half siblings?
Same last name. All my siblings are half siblings. Yeah, we don't really use that term in my my family.
Sorry.
But yes, we all have different fathers. Mm-hmm. Our mom was mm-hmm. a slut.
Well, now I'm interested. Why do you not use the term half sibling? I mean, they're your brother or sister,
it's
right?
It's weird because I feel like that's something people say when they don't really know someone or they didn't grow up together, but we just, they're my siblings. Like, I was always with them,
right?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And I'm still with them now.
Right,
so I don't know. We haven't figured out a better term for it.
Right.
It's fine. It's true. Like, I have a half brother and sister that are, like, way younger than me, but they're still my brother and sister.
Yeah. So. My brother has a different last name. And
it's only weird, like, when we went to things, like, their graduation, and it's like, I think some of these parents are the same age as us, so I think.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird to say it.
Totally.
Like that.
Oh, yeah. That's weird.
Yeah. It was very
strange. My brother being a mildly well-known Bay Area person doesn't help because he has a different last name. So people are like, oh, that's your brother.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, he lived in my house.
Is your brother Gavin Newsom?
Jason Bebout. But
oh, right. Yes. He's in bands.
Yes.
Yes, he was in bands.
Still
is. Still
is, yeah.
Is he playing the Lookout thing?
I don't know.
Do you know about this at all?
I don't know about it. He's in Florida right now for Fest.
Oh, he's okay. They're playing Fest, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, they're still in the band. Uh-huh. But that's always been a thing when he did interviews and people were like, "So you're half sisters?" And he's like, "Don't print that. Like they're not half anything. Like
they
live in my house."
It does diminish a little bit.
It does. Yeah, it's weird.
That is true.
Did you grow up going to those shows? Did you go see the Gilman shows?
My first concert ever was at Gilman, which is ill-advised, probably for small children. Well, it is for kids in a way. So, but yeah, we went to a Sam I Am, or maybe it was an Isocracy show. Even like
was
that
he
far
in that
back.
Band too?
Yeah, that's his band.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I went there a few times.
Okay.
Almost got kicked in the head.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like, how old were you when you went the first time?
Probably, I mean, like, I can't even imagine. Maybe like 8, 7.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It is an all-ages club. Wow.
Yeah, the whole family went. I don't think my mom really knew what she was getting. You know, it's like, let's go see your brother's performance.
Oh, right, right. Yeah.
Like, nice. It's not a school play,
it's
Mom.
It's not a jazz
Gilman
band.
Gilman Street. Yeah.
Yeah. That play, that room has come up so often in our podcast.
It really is like a thing that, yeah, it's a very
Weird.
Bay Area thing to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah.
We do a lot of music episodes, too.
I've never been there.
I'm playing there
oh,
in
you are.
January as in a cover band.
Oh, wow.
For the Lookout thing. It's like a weekend of like people doing Lookout.
Oh,
or
interesting.
The old Lookout bands.
I'm sure they are. Maybe.
What's, yeah.
What's the date? Plug it.
January. I think we're on the 9th. It's a Sunday. I'm playing in a tribute band at Cringers. Our friend Lance, who passed away a few years ago. But we're just covering songs by his bands, Cringer and J Church.
Aww.
With the original drummer from Cringer, Kamala, or one of the many drummers. So, yeah. It's just... So, I thought Semi-M might be on the list for that.
They might be. I don't know. I should ask him.
Anyway,
awesome.
Just a random plug. It's just one of my other cover bands. I just only do cover bands.
Because you're in that Fleetwood Mac cover band.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The rumors. The rumors are true.
Yeah.
The name of it. I
Fleetwood
did the fall
Mac'd.
Cover band last this weekend, yeah. Okay, well, anyway.
And so,
side things.
Amy, you picked for us to watch Home Movie.
Yes.
The documentary.
One of my favorite documentaries of all time.
And you saw it when it first came out.
I saw it when it first came out, and then I think I saw it in some weird run in like a Berkeley theater probably, and mm-hmm. then kind of fell in love with it then.
Got it.
Yeah.
And so for those people who have not seen Home Movie, could you kind of just sum it up for them?
Yes. So it's in perfectly in line with my favorite genre of documentary, which is just total misfits and weirdos.
Yeah.
You know, people just carve like their own little space out of life and don't care what that looks like to any outside observer. It's my favorite thing. And so it's basically just a bunch of weirdos. Well, they're not weirdos to me.
Right.
A bunch of people with different, like, not unconventional homes. And I mean, like, their actual homes, like the space that they live in. And just sort of getting to know them and why they chose that space and, you know, their whole backstories. So there's like a dude who lives on a houseboat in New Orleans. There's a woman who used to be an actress and lives in a tree in Hawaii. There's a couple that lives in a bunker. They're probably my least favorite, if we're being honest.
Okay.
Yeah,
because you grew up in Berkeley.
Yeah, I think, yeah, there's something about them that I don't like, but I'd say I've seen this documentary so many times and I think I skip over them a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And then there is an old man and his sort of like trophy-ish girlfriend or wife. Are they married? I can't remember.
They're
if
not
they're married.
Married.
No.
It's almost unclear if they are even romantically. They're
it's
not
true.
Whether they're sexually involved.
Right.
I think they're romantically involved, but not sexually.
I think
probably.
Benny likes Darlene a little bit more than Darlene likes Benny.
Yeah.
Sure. But
yeah.
She does like the just affirmation of his compliments.
Of
and
course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's an inventor, so he just has like weird gadgets all over his house mm-hmm. and like a chair that moves on wheels and this weird robot suit. And then of course there's the cat people.
Yeah.
That's the last one, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Cat couple, they've completely remodeled their entire apartment. I don't even think it's
house.
A house. It is
a house.
House.
Yeah.
Small. It seems, I don't know if it just seems small because it's filled with cat tunnels.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
But basically, like, imagine like a cat playland and that is what their home is. And they've left very little space to themselves.
Right.
And they don't seem to mind. They also seem to mildly hate each other.
Oh.
I mean,
I
like many married couples,
yes.
I guess, but in their allegiance is to, they're staying together for the kids. For
right,
sure.
Right. Which are the cats.
Yeah.
I think they even mentioned that in the doc. They're like, we don't have, our kids are the cats.
Yeah.
And they rule the roost.
Well, and they mention when, like, they have a niece come visit and hate it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They don't like her being around and they're very open about it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. So let's start. Well, I also do want to mention this is directed by Chris Smith, who directed probably a doc that's in my top 10, if not top 5, which is American Movie, mm-hmm. which I love. That is one of my favorite. Talk about weird and outcast and slices of weird Americana, which is my favorite genre as well. Like,
yeah.
That doc is so good.
Oh, yeah. One of the best things, and we quote this around my house a lot. Like if we're ever in the rain, is it's also the American Movie guys are like those like the kind of weirdos that don't even really picture what's fully possible in life. Like, their goals are really modest. Like, the best quote is, he's like standing outside and he's like, man, I wish I was in AC/DC, because if I was in AC/DC, I wouldn't be standing outside in the rain right now. Yeah. And you're just like, what? I mean,
that's awesome.
You'd also have a lot of other stuff. Yes. That's just all he wanted.
You'd be Australian, just... yeah.
When he's bathing his uncle.
Yeah.
Who would be his lead producer on this movie. Too much. But so we start off, the doc starts off with Wild Bill Treggle in Louisiana, who has the houseboat. George, yeah. What'd you think of Wild Bill?
Oh, the great accent. Love yes. the accent. He just reminded me of... I had met someone who was like a lot younger, like in college or something, but she was like, I had a houseboat in Florida. Look at it. It capsized. And just like, then it kind of dried out. And here's some of my stuff, like showing me photos of it. Just like, you're a homeowner? Oh, I get it. You can be a homeowner in Florida
yeah.
with this floating.
Right.
It is a home. That's the theme of the movies. Yeah. Anything can be a home.
Did he have a boat that sank? It's not like he had a boat before and that sank or caught on fire. And then
well,
he got this.
I think what it was the boat that he was. It was a trolley boat that he was moving his houseboat with, because he was filling it with gasoline.
Oh, the trolley boat caught.
Yeah, okay. And the trolley boat, and then he had to be in the hospital for a while, and then he was on his. Remember, he said he moved his houseboat close to his sister's restaurant in his parents' house.
Right.
Yeah. So
luckily, he doesn't seem to really feel pain. So
no, seeing that part of his heel was ripped off.
He was like Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler, kind of.
Totally.
Like
that kind
of wow.
Yeah. I didn't think of that till just now.
Very
but yeah.
similar, but not as sad, because this is a positive guy with like a really light spirit.
And he's like works in the family business, which is raising gators.
Gators, yes.
Yeah, doing everything possible, using every part of the
wrestling
gator.
Wrestling gators.
Wrestling them.
They're wrestling.
Bringing them to film shoots and stuff.
A
like
guy
that.
Like Wild Bill doesn't wrestle anything. He wrestles everything.
He's the best. He's like... He's one of the most quotable, and I think...
He's super quotable.
I don't know. I guess I don't want to call this so early in the podcast, but I think he might be my favorite.
Yeah?
I think he might be my favorite in the movie, yeah. I don't know if it's just because he opens it, but I don't know. There's something about him. I just really like his spirit, you know? And he's just, like, got that, like, down-home southern quotability. Like, just, I love when he's, like, a houseboat without a porch. It's like a pancake, without no syrup.
Yeah.
Like, great all right. Quote.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a great quote.
He is, like, has a loner spirit, though, even though he's, like, tied into his family. It's just, like, he just...
Well, I think everybody in this movie, and that's one of the reasons I love it so
much. There's a few different
themes.
There's themes that run through this. Not unlike Fast, Cheap, and Out of Control.
It reminded me a lot of that movie, actually, the way it was it doesn't really start intercutting till the end. Between the scenes.
Right, yeah.
It starts doing it.
There's a lot of things, like technology versus, you know, non-technological living. You know, there's a technology aspect to this where you have the guy with the robots and the missile silo.
Sure.
And the houseboat and the treehouse. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's that kind of stuff. I also feel like there's a weird, for me, there's also a theme of like sex, like sexual relationships kind of run through this movie. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, definitely. Although, well, what about the houseboat guy, though? Like,
that's the
he has a daughter, is what I found out.
Well, he implies a couple times that he's like had ladies over to the houseboat.
Well, he is apparently quite the ladies' man from the obituary.
Well, I guess that's a reveal.
Yeah.
Like, it's 2016.
I feel sad now. I didn't know he was dead, Paco.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he didn't live to be 150, like he was saying in the documentary.
Yeah.
He was like, well, if I get close to 100, then I'll probably be able to live to 150. But I think he made it to 57 years old.
Yeah, he's like the epitome of that, just like simple life, like I'm content. I go swimming every morning and like this is all that I need.
Amen. I mean, and that's fucking beautiful, man. I love the like there's most of these people had a very libertarian streak to them, which is just like leave me alone. I'm doing my own goddamn thing. I don't need you meddling in my process, you know.
It's very enviable, especially if you now live in Los Angeles, like we all do, right. You know? Right.
And this you can't own a home, really.
This is pre-Facebook, YouTube, cell phones.
Yeah.
You know, 2001, it was filmed in 99, I think, and then released in 2001. And there's, I mean, they're even then talking about not wanting all the stuff around them. Like, like Wild Bill was talking about, you know? But be able to, like, just jump in and go swimming and catch some crabs and eat it fresh from the water and like
Have you ever what's the simplest you've ever lived in terms of like just like
I don't think I've ever lived not simple.
Well, I mean like urban, you've been urban for most of the last
Well, I guess growing up basically in a farm, you know, that's pretty simple, I suppose. I don't know.
Yeah. That's plus you're, you know, from olden times.
Yeah, so. Well, the thing is, I grew up in medieval Britain, so that's
You killed that accent, though.
I did, yeah, got rid of that. I'm wearing my chainmail now.
No, but, like, do you like camping and stuff like that?
Yeah, yeah, I'm from Michigan. I think that goes hand in hand with being from the northern states.
Amy?
Right. Oh, yeah, of course. But, you know, now it's like, I mean, he's doing this full time.
I know,
you know, and, I mean, at this point, people camp and get away in a very, very intentional way. Like, I'm going to escape for a few days and put my phone down. Yeah. And it's like, you can't, I don't know that I could ever really go back. Maybe when I'm older, but yeah, he's doing it full time. And it's just his base level of like surviving in a really content way that I've always wished I were able to do.
Amen. Oh, I agree. 100%.
I want too much.
I wanted fresh seafood watching this.
I know.
Just literally outside my window, just drop a basket and then have like crab.
I know.
Yeah, fresh crab. Like sucking out of those like crawfish heads or whatever. Yeah.
Just all it needs is like half a pound of salt and some hot sauce, apparently.
You didn't even put butter in that shit.
No.
That's true for everything.
Yeah, that is true for everything.
And so much salt.
In his obituary, they also talk about his high blood pressure.
Yeah, so, it's all that salt. Yeah,
that'll get you.
Being underground has its advantages, but not to be there full time.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, living simply like that is a beautiful thing. I mean, you know, like, I still have a stereo... my stereo that I had in high school. So, you know, you don't
need
much.
You have to crank it or?
Yeah, you have to crank it a little bit. There's a crank on the side. It only plays, like Beatles and some Scott
Glenn
Joplin.
Gould.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it's like that movie where you're just getting radio signals from the past so you can talk to your own dad.
Yeah.
It's Dennis Quaid. So that's your favorite, Amy, that's your personal favorite is Wild Bill.
I think so. It's a toss-up between him and Tree Lady for sure.
Okay.
And you hated...
They're closer to each other.
Probably because she's my actual future.
They are
future.
Closer. Yeah.
When I fail in Hollywood.
That is
when
funny.
You go to Japan and become famous white actress.
The people you hated the most.
The bunker hated, people I hate.
Or whatever.
Is that straight up hate? Or just least favorite of these?
I think I do hate them,
Who do you think was... Okay, the most annoying were the bunker people.
By far, yeah.
Who was the weirdest?
To me, I think the weirdest are the bunker people.
Okay, so they kind of go...
Yeah.
Yeah, they were... I mean, the cat was under... every time I watched the bunker people, all I could think of was tantric sex. That was...
Yes, so that's what I was going to say is I almost wish I knew... about 50% more about them, and then I probably would like them more because you can tell just by that basement drum circle that they're like yeah. into some freaky shit.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And I just wish I knew all of it. And then I'd be like, oh, okay, so I do know you guys. You're like Berkeley swingers. And right. like, that's normal. Okay. That's normal to me. You
yeah.
know, like,
yeah.
I didn't get into it, but like right. I'm familiar with those folks.
It felt like how Berkeley can you be, but they just yeah. put it in Kansas
right.
in a yes. missile silo.
And but they just felt like there's a certain, like they just feel kind of full of shit a lot of the time. Like yes. there's a lot lurking behind this, underneath the surface, and that wife is just like a
Diane.
Stanford wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't talk about their jobs at all. They're the only ones
no.
that
well,
talk about.
No, well, Ed has got to be a programmer of some
I
sort
think
of computer.
They both work in education is what,
because okay.
I found their website's still there. They try to turn it into a thing where they're converting missile silos into
oh.
condos for people.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you can find them. We can put a link in that
but
in
the
episode.
Turns out people
yeah.
want sunshine.
Yeah. They're also like have that weird libertarian streak where they're just like, if there is a missile strike, this house is not going down because, mm-hmm. I mean, they felt very bunkery, very leave us alone.
Yeah,
kind
it
of.
Feels like it's political, but they don't explicitly say what their politics are.
If mm-hmm. they were, let's say, Amy, are telling us how they're voting next week. How are Ed and Diane voting next week?
Oh, they're all in on Gary Johnson, I think.
I thought Jill Stein, maybe.
Yeah, they're totes Gary Johnson.
I think so, for yeah. sure.
They have like a Gary Johnson yard sign where there's no home to look at. It's just like, they're like,
sticking out of the ground.
Just sticking out of the ground. They're like, I don't understand.
Yeah, they're a weird mix because it is like, I thought they were just straight up hippies, but all the surveillance stuff
yeah,
and
right,
all that stuff
exactly.
does seem like to be more like militia paranoia.
And mm-hmm. yeah, paranoid. Like I think that they both, or at least the wife, have gone through some like pretty significant trauma that's been unaddressed, you know? She just has sort of that
yeah.
glassy-eyed, like,
yeah.
my dad molested me look,
yeah.
like, and I've been burying it, literally burying myself
right.
for years.
Ed. Oh, yeah. Ed beats me, but it's okay, I deserve it.
Like,
oh,
she just
gosh.
Needs one good
Sorry.
Cry with a therapist.
Did they have a daughter? Was that
yes.
their kid? Yeah, and she just came home, and she's like, and then there was a greenhouse all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and he says, we like to have, he mentions having tornado parties because no tornado will, you know, destroy their place. And she's like, we have the biggest basement. And then it does a cut from that. And it's just like, whoa, what happens? And there's like spin fuck chairs.
Yeah.
And like,
totally.
This is not the direction I was picking.
Okay.
You're picking up on a lot. I mean, it's interesting. Yeah. I mean, there's two couples in here that seem weirdly, I thought maybe asexual with the cat like people.
Oh, right.
And then you're reading a lot of like, just like, repressed
oh,
sexuality.
Absolutely.
In the silo.
I think the bunker people are hypersexual.
Yeah.
And then the missile had to be loaded into its upright position. Yeah.
And we have a 120 foot tunnel.
Yeah.
And then
I have the biggest basement.
I've got a big basement. He likes
that's
to
a
hide,
quote for
the hide the missile in my basement.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
That's
and then
a landmine.
From there, we go to.
I want to say Linda. Or is Linda last?
No, Linda's last. So then we go to California, people.
San Diego.
People,
yeah.
San Diego.
Yeah.
Bob Walker and Frances Mooney.
Yeah, definitely asexual, I think. I mean, same thing. I think there's like a darkness lurking, especially as we said, like when the niece came up, where they were just like,
we don't know if she went to college or not.
Yeah.
That's basically what they
yeah,
say.
Yeah, like we just have no interest in other people, barely even each other. Like we're just all in on cats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Humans, no thanks. I think this couple voting tomorrow is not voting. I don't think they
no.
show up.
No, they
no.
don't vote.
Because, like, maybe, no, not at all. Like, the cats need to be fed. They
yeah.
can't make it to the polling place.
They're not
place
getting
that
out.
Day.
There's too many crock pots to cook in.
But
and
I
too
think
many
they also don't
feed.
Care because they're just, they've been out on humanity as a whole
yeah.
for a long time. So it's just like, yeah, Trump, whatever.
Right, right. No, they don't, they're not even up on the latest, mm-hmm. they're up on the cat news. I mean, she must have a cat blog. Or he must have a cat blog.
I think they just take all those photos of their cats and try to just monetize. They were trying to monetize
oh,
their
that's
cats.
That's right. He makes
but
like
were
bags.
They make cat calendars. But
yeah.
were they also photographing other people's cats? They weren't, right?
Or? I think were they just photo developers. Or just that was their day gig was doing photo stuff. That was my understanding.
Okay. So they do leave the house. They're not like stay-at-home cat people.
Right.
Yeah. With the internet, probably not anymore. Yeah. So maybe by 2002, they were... Probably
let's
just
apply our political prod broadcasting to Bill, though. What do you think, Bill?
Wild Bill?
Yeah, Wild Bill. You think he'd vote even?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think he doesn't have like a TV or anything, so he's not. I just don't think he. I don't think he's concerned.
I don't think he's like. Yeah, he's not mailing nothing in.
Yeah,
he probably goes in town to like bars and stuff though. So it's hard. It's kind of a toss up with New Orleans too, because it's like a liberal town, but in a southern state.
Right.
He's probably in on Trump.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I think so.
That's what I'm thinking.
If he managed to vote, yeah.
He sounds like, not to skip. Okay, let's go. I'm sorry. Let's go back to California. We'll get to Bill later again. But so we're California. So they're from San Diego, because they don't really mention.
I did a little research.
Okay.
They actually. It's funny you say they're apolitical, because they moved to Washington D.C.
Oh,
back in 2013, they sold the house.
Oh, wow!
And they said the new owners just tear apart all our work. So,
well, yeah,
yeah. Mm. That's because the value was down.
Yeah, they talk about how their house was devalued because of the cat stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that by the time they moved to DC, they still have 8 of the cats.
Wow.
Or so probably not the same ones at this point. They're probably the children or they adopted.
Well, the 25-pound cat couldn't have lived this long.
No, you can't live that long.
Yeah, that was a big cat.
Yeah.
So they live in D.C. now?
Yeah, the couple lives in D.C.
Oh, interesting.
And they're trying to like get their website back going up again, but they're not doing the same. They're not doing all the building and everything.
They're still using that computer they have in the documentary.
Yeah, it's the same scanner and whatever. Yeah, but I really like... I have recently decided that, like, if I need to, like, calm down, I think about the time I would go visit the Cat Cafe in Oakland. And I would just sit and watch the cats play. And, like, that was really... That's my happy place. I just have a happy place. It's a bunch of cats running around.
George, you're so sweet.
Yeah, but I don't relate to these people that much.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea. I'm like... I would, if it was my personal house, I don't think I'd do more than 3.
Right.
And I can't do any right now because just we're not allowed to.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh, do even any, one's too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I can't imagine having, I mean, how many do they have in this movie?
I was 11.
Like, is that what they
11
said?
11.
That even
in the movie.
Seems like a little low. I feel like they would have 30 if they could. But also, there are like kind of strict laws in California about how many cats you can have. So they probably stop. Or maybe in the documentary, they're like, we have 11.
Yeah.
And there's just 15 in a closet somewhere.
Up in a drawer. Do you remember about, I mean, honestly, a decade ago, just sometime in the mid-2000s, there was a story about a woman, and I want to say in Santa Rosa, where she stopped living in her house.
Mm-hmm.
She just let the cats take it over to the point where they just kept breeding generations of cats, never cleaned the litter, basically like, and to the point where there's like cannibalism and just like decaying corpses.
So,
and they just had to like basically, the floor is covered in urine. It was toxic. They had to demolish the house.
Jesus.
True story, this happened to my childhood home.
What?
Yeah, in El Sobrani, which is in the East Bay.
Uh-huh.
So kind of a long, dark story, but when we moved out of the house I grew up in, my mom like sold it to her boyfriend at the time, who as it turned out was like a total shut-in, like alcoholic cat person hoarder.
Mm-hmm.
And so he
ties into hoarding,
like died in the house. He had all these cats that weren't spayed or neutered, so it's exactly what you're describing.
Was it your childhood home that I'm describing? Because I was like up north, and El Sobrante is a little bit north.
It's East Bay. It was a guy, his name was Bob.
Okay.
R.I.P. but so my sisters and I like heard about this because, I don't know, it sort of spread through the neighborhood. They condemned the house.
Mm-hmm.
There were like meth head squatters living in there.
What?
But we went in, and since their breakup was kind of weird, my mom hadn't like cleared out a lot of the stuff from our childhood that was in there. So literally we're walking in this like hovel taken over by cats and meth heads. And there's like our childhood TV, and that's a lamp I grew up with. And there's like a high chair that I used to eat in as a baby. And there's just hundreds and hundreds of cats. And same thing, carcasses, shit everywhere, pee.
You went in there when there was a car. No one had cleaned anything.
No one had cleaned it. This was like the bank was finally we condemned this.
Oh my God.
And it needs to be like burned down or rebuilt from the ground up. They did end up rebuilding it, and now like people live there. I don't think they have any idea of what it's been through.
Wow.
But just that visual of like
You've seen that.
It was the stuff of nightmares. Yeah.
That's awful.
But picture it in the house that you grew up in. Like,
yeah. Whoa. Well, they took his body away. Like, someone.
Eventually, they found him after the neighbors, like, reported, we haven't heard anything from this guy. There's, like, hungry cats everywhere. And there's, like, a smell coming from inside the house. They found him.
Wow.
Yeah. But so the cops or whatever, like, took his body out. Yeah.
But not the cats.
No, and nobody was feeding them, so they were just, cannibalism, like, just catching mice, I guess, and then just dying. So there's, like, little kitten carcasses around.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How old were you when you went to
this?
That
was the year I started stand-up comedy. it's true.
Have you ever used that story on stage?
Not yet.
It's a little close.
It's kind of hard to make funny because it's so dark.
That is really terrible. But you got your TV from your childhood?
No, we didn't take anything out of there.
No.
I mean, everything needed to be burned. Like, it was, you know.
Like, the pee smell everywhere.
Absolutely.
That acidic pee smell.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It was... And wow. Eventually, I think they came and, like, got all the cats that were still alive and got them out of there. But
Man,
they mate really quickly if you're not careful.
Yeah. That's crazy. Wow, that's really wild. What a story.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And it was your mom's boyfriend. I kind of missed this part. It was your mom's boyfriend.
So he had seemed like a sort of normal guy.
Right.
But then they broke it off, and then we were moving, and she was like, well, I'll sell you my house. But the deal being, I'll give it to you on the cheap, but we need to like keep a bunch of our stuff here.
And your mom was like, and try to keep it nice.
Yeah.
And he's like, sure. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then it turns out he was like, I guess, very mentally ill. And we all know how to pick them in my family.
Yeah. Is hoarding on the DSM at all? Is it considered legit?
It's under OCD umbrella. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like the cat people and hoarding definitely are connected.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like you're hoarding creatures. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. People will hoard.
It's a collection.
It's a collection of cats.
Curated. Yeah. Well curated.
Yes. A well curated collection of cats.
Hoarding has come up in another. When we talked about. Did you see Finding Vivian Meyer? Do you know about that?
No, not yet.
Total hoarder. Total hoarder. And it's just something that, like, I think I have it genetically somehow, and I'm just trying to like really keep things.
Oh, minimal. Really? Is there hoarding in your family?
My aunt it might be better now, but she's like got this apartment in Oakland. She's lived in Oakland Chinatown since the 70s, and like she invited me over one day because she like was like, "Oh, you want old?" Somehow we started talking about. She has all these clothes from the 70s. That she hasn't worn. They're like jumpsuits and shit that are like in pristine condition that like haven't been touched. But when I went into the apartment, there was all these box. It's more paper stuff. It's a lot of paper stuff. And that's kind of my thing. It's like I don't have like food lying around, but I'm like a paper guy.
You're a paper guy.
I mean, I have like flyers and then I will just keep like notes from old jobs and things like that.
Oh, wow.
Because I just think that I have a lot of my shit from college. Mm-hmm. Just like I think I'm going to go through this one day. I'm never going to.
Yeah.
I'm never going to do it. Do you keep a comedy notebooks?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you do that too?
No.
You don't keep any of that stuff?
No, not really. I kind of stopped writing anything. I write. I mean, I have notebooks with new jokes, but once it's a couple years old and it hasn't proven to be funny ever, then I just get...
In the case of like recently, like Mitch Hedberg's widow was like showing like some of his notebooks and his like joke writing process. And like that shit's pretty interesting. Yeah. Actually, in the this magazine that also had the Marwan Call stuff in it, the Esopus magazine.
Yeah.
Randomly, it was at my sister's house. I pulled up and Dimitri Martin had his notebooks in there.
Oh, wow.
So it was like, okay, it's kind of interesting to see how this guy, who's like a very visual, also one-liner guy, writes things.
I mean, three comics sitting here, I think one of the most fascinating things is to find a comic's notebook and peer into it.
I found those on accident. Yeah, people left them at last weekend.
No, I mean, but it's fascinating sometimes.
Yeah. And I feel like it often translates exactly to like kind of how they perform.
Right, I agree.
Because there are some people that write word for word, like here's how I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
And like that's not, I'll write like three words that remind me of the flow of that joke.
Yeah.
But if you looked at it, it wouldn't make any sense.
At last weekend, like there would always, every like couple months, someone would leave a notebook.
Yeah.
And it would be the thing of like, without really going through it, just being like, Can I figure it out from one page?
Right.
Like, who's, mm-hmm. yeah. whose joke this is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Figure out. Sometimes, like, oh, it was one time, it's like, oh, it's a guy from Sacramento. So no one knew him that well.
Right.
Or knew his stuff that well. But yeah. mostly, like, I know everyone in this town right now. Like, and, like, this is probably this guy.
Yeah.
It's always fascinating, I think, to look at how people structure their jokes in the written form and who does mind mapping kind of shit. And, like you said, word for word stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I always give my bits titles. So I just have my titles and crap like that.
Yeah. But, one of my favorite, just a quick note on hoarding, one of my favorite, like, art exhibits I've ever seen was, like, maybe at MoMA or was I in New York? I can't remember. But this artist, like, took, like, their Depression era or was it? I can't remember if it
There's
was, like,
Chinese
Korean.
There's a Chinese artist who does.
Oh, yeah. Chinese grandparents.
Chinese artist?
Yes.
Oh, and everything that they
every
had.
Every single thing that they had.
I saw the show, and like, we'll have to put in the show notes because I don't remember the artist.
Precisely chronicled. Yeah. And so, you know, there's just, like Coke cans and every pair of shoes.
I saw the show.
And it's incredible.
I want to say, like, it was maybe at Yerba Buena, but I also did see it
in
New York,
too. I think you're right.
Too.
Yeah,
I think I saw it in New York also.
But the mass of it. Because it's just one big open space.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, standing, and then you can go upstairs and look down on it and just looking at, like, the amount of stuff that people keep was so overwhelming. It was like,
And when I moved here, like, I'd been in the same apartment on 37th Street for, like, 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy. I had to just dump a bunch of shit out on the street. Kind of like your cat story. We found, like, there was just a rat that had been just pressed into like a flat, like roadkill, but it was on the sidewalk and it was just like, what is this thing? It was so gross. But that had nothing, that wasn't because of me. Just was in the front yard of my place because there were these bushes that were never trimmed back. But yeah, like I had a major just confronting everything that I had hoarded from every move. I got really, when you moved, are you more minimal or do you keep stuff at your mom's house?
I now keep a few things at my mom's house, just like keepsakes and, you know, like, you know, stuff from high school and whatever. But this is the most I've ever pared down. And I think there's something to be said, kind of going back to the documentary, like for, cause I took this huge step in my life. And so it was sort
Portland
of like
here,
a, what is more important right now? That I keep all this shit or that I can, like, move to the next step in my life because I'm taking on so much. So it was like releasing physical baggage almost to be like, okay, well, I'm going to try to make my dreams work.
Feels and, good, right?
Yeah.
And what I like about all the people in this movie is even though they have OCD tendencies for sure, almost everybody, it is like it's a very deliberately simple way to live. Even when it's not simple, you know, I mean, the cat people, it's a choice. It's a lot of work to make all those cat tunnels in your house, but they've chosen their priority. Like their priority is not to have bookshelves or, you know, all this crap that we keep. It's like, oh no, the cats are more important or I mean, this weird robot is more important with that guy. And so they're like, they're not really hoarders. They just have a deliberate life choice.
They're very particular.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who's a very OCD. And I once told her, I said, I think I'm OCD. And she's like, no, you're not. You're just very particular. There's a big difference, you know?
Yeah. You like what you like.
Yes. Yeah. And where it is and where it needs to be in my life.
Yeah.
So from cat people, then we go to our fourth person who lives in Hawaii, Linda Beach, who is a lovely old tart.
Perfect name for her, too.
Yeah, tart. Sure.
She's great.
She's great. She's
yeah.
She's I would watch a whole documentary on her.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
She was really the one. There's the other people where I like, I want to know what your darkness is, but for her, I want to know like her whole arc of her life. Because, yeah, she's kind of got that weird sexual thing with, like, her...
With her
houseboys or whatever.
Really? Yeah.
Kabir.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking Kabir,
dude. Don't.
That you can tell in her days of being a successful actress in Japan,
yeah.
She probably was raking in dudes, you know? And
yeah.
She's still just, like...
She was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Did you see any of those old pictures of her? She was so pretty.
So pretty.
Yeah, and so let's talk about that for a second for people who haven't seen the doc yet, that she was a Japanese sitcom star.
Right.
In the 50s, early 50s.
Yeah, blonde American woman. Yeah.
Apparently it was
yeah.
like the I Love Lucy of Japan, basically.
She was the I Love Lucy
like
of Japan.
Ball, yeah.
And like people credit her, like I think Patton said that she had done more to bring peace in that war than
a post-war
than anyone else.
Interesting.
I know, that's pretty incredible because it ran for a few years and it was like a gigantic TV show in Japan, which is pretty wild. And I guess she had grown up speaking Japanese and someone just saw her in a commissary in Japan and was like, let's put you on TV.
Right. So now she lives in a tree.
And now she lives in a tree in Hawaii. Yeah.
Did she grow up in Hawaii? Is that part of it? So yeah, so Japanese was just natural. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she grew up in Hawaii. And like I love the scene that they chose, that Chris Smith chose to introduce her us.
Which driving her car?
Driving her car across this river.
I mean, a whole river. And she's kind of like, oh, yeah, some days it's higher than others. But, I mean, the water is halfway up her car.
I know.
And she just guns it.
She's amazing. And she gives a little prayer in Hawaiian.
Yeah.
Or whatever the language.
She's multilingual. Sorry. Yeah. The Hawaiian language.
And then she crosses that bad river in her fucking Ford. And it's such a great intro to her character.
Yeah.
And she's clearly, I mean, based on her experience in Japan, like she's well versed in like steeping herself in another culture and learning sort of like the customs and the language. And so she's like all in on Hawaiian culture too. She's like very respectful of the land and nature and like, you know, the beliefs of people there and not just like, oh, I'm an American, like from the mainland living in Hawaii and taking from this place. She's like, I mean, her with the tree, like that's one of my favorite.
The tree growing inside. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, she gives it a big kiss and she's great. And so it's like Chris, the director obviously picked these four different homes and the inhabitants.
Five, for
a reason, and it's like, what do you think he was trying to portray? What do you think his theme was in having these five particular homes?
I mean, I think I still think part of the theme is like making a very deliberate life choice, and like for her, she had already lived this whole other huge life. And she isn't at the point where she's like, oh, I'm still going to try to make it. And I'll play old ladies now. You know, she's just like, no, that was another life. And this is what I do now. It's almost like even though she's the only really older one, they're all kind of retired.
Oh, wow.
You know, like they've all just decided.
That is a good point.
It's a great point.
This home is my actual purpose.
Right.
I have no purpose outside of this structure.
Yeah.
Or any interest in, you know.
They all seem super content in what they do.
Well, that was like my question about like career or like money stuff, because it's just like, how did you afford these things? In her case, it seems like, well, it was just, you get the land, probably is fairly cheap to get the land. And then it took a long time to build it. There's also her whole backstory with her son, which is really sad. Do you remember that part of the doc?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, her son, who I imagine, I don't know that much, imagine maybe he was like half Japanese or something, because she spent all this time in Japan. I think his name made me think he might be at least half. And then he was supposed to do something there, like take it over. Then that kind of fell apart. It sounds like he had some addiction issues. And then she kind of like decided to be there partly to help grieve that process as a grieving thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So
yeah.
Really, you and don't get there till the end.
Right.
Yeah. And that, and we know that about her, but I wouldn't be surprised, as I said, like lurking darkness with everybody else. If I wouldn't be surprised that there's something for every person that they're like running from a little bit, or some major trauma or life event where they're just like, I need control, and this is something I can control. I can control this space.
We have 140 feet of cat path that runs throughout the house here, and you know, oftentimes we have cats overhead. I mean, look at all these cute little guys. Oh, I have a hunch a lot of the general public that's out there kind of thinks we're bonkers.
This episode is brought to you by Philo.
Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
So what we didn't really get into yet, welcome back, listeners, is the Illinois guy with the electronic house, Benny.
Yeah, that's Bill Skora.
Yeah.
And his robot, A-Rock, which is Skora backwards without the S. Really complicated, simple way to do that. We couldn't have fit the S on the chest. It wouldn't make sense. Yeah.
And so funny. He's something
saucy
else.
Old man.
He is, isn't he?
The introduction to him is great.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. He just is like, there's always like a surprise. He's got a layer of secrets.
Oh, my God. How much time has he spent on that home?
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And even just the way he carries himself, and I don't know, he's just got like so much old man swagger.
Total.
He's got old man swag.
He's like the least weird while being in some way the most weird. He just owns so it good. So hard that he's like, I'm a cool guy and I have house robots.
Mm-hmm. So you're so
and
right
you're like,
on that.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm
sold.
To remember if I would have been that impressed with that kind of robot in 2000, because I feel like it feels janky. But like what? There's still like something I can't do.
No,
I can't make.
And there's still not those robots. I mean, back then we probably would have been like, oh, in 2016, those robots are going to be all over the fucking place. But we still don't. And it bent at the waist.
Apparently,
and
like 270 pounds or something like that. Yeah, it's incredibly heavy.
I love that she rides it too.
Yeah, that's the best. So that by
we're
she
dancing.
By she we mean his Darlene. Lovely assistant Darlene.
Oh, and isn't she it's just so. Classic. I mean, she's got the Midwestern kind of mohawk mullet that is just lovely, and she talks about wanting to be an actress, and she's, you know, she's 32, and by hypnosis...
Oh, yeah.
He's hoping to keep her organs at 32.
Oh, that I completely forgot about that part.
Yeah.
You can hypnotize yourself into being younger.
She does already look 42,
she
which
does.
Is weird.
That is the weird. I'm like, either you've been lying to your boy, or you should stop drinking the Bartles and James so much.
Something.
She's what really puts this documentary into like... Oh, these are Christopher Guest characters.
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
She does not seem real.
No, and Chris Smith must have amazing researchers or something. I don't know how he finds...
Any one of these people could have been a bizarre 30-minute documentary.
And they're not... Mm-hmm. They're all from all over the United States. Like it's like how he found Bouchard for American Movie, even. I think I remember once that
it was college. Milwaukee or something.
Yeah, and he was from Milwaukee, and he was also working with Michael Moore. Like, he was an assistant with Michael Moore on one of his early docs from the early 90s.
Okay.
Yeah, Michael Moore was in Traverse City, which is near Milwaukee.
Well, the guy from American Movie actually wrote the liner notes for the DVD version.
Oh, no way.
And he actually talks about... his meeting with Chris Smith in here.
Oh, wow.
So oh, interesting.
If you have the DVD, if you can buy the DVD, it's also like, I don't know why these are so hard to find. The last couple
Impossible.
We've been doing have been really hard to find.
I don't have the liner notes. You got that at a library, right?
Yeah. You don't have this.
I have a copy I bought online, used copy that's from a public library, but there's no liner notes in it.
Amy, you used to work in a video store. I remember this about you.
Yeah.
This was on Elm on college?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Vidiots.
Yeah. Oh, there's a Vidiots on college.
That's
funny.
And that's where I think that's how I first saw this movie, probably.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Was we had a really good documentary section.
One of your antisocial workmates came in, was like, you ought to watch
Absolutely,
this.
Yeah. Well, my manager at the time kind of figured out, like, I'd seen Great Gardens or something, and I was just, like, obsessed. Mm. And then I just went on a tear of all these kinds of documentaries. Yeah. Just, like, loners and people retreating from life.
Oh, God. Because
it's always an instinct that I'm fighting. So I watch it. And then he suggested this to me, and I just, like, watch it probably every 6 months for
since
it came out.
Really?
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, yeah. Because awesome. You also had wanted to do Marwin Call, which is also a great doc. Guy that lives in his own world.
Yes.
I mean, you can call him kind of weird or a freak or whatever those kind of things. But it's so.
But he
good.
Had actual brain trauma,
right.
too.
Yeah.
Yes. There he did.
It's so he's got some legitimate reasons.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, he's like hate crimes and then into a fantasy
and
world.
I think this is the doc that we talk about the most
without
ever having done an episode of.
Yeah.
Is Marwin Call.
Yeah. So. Yeah, well, we should get back to Bill Scobo or Scora for a sec. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or not Bill, Ben Scora.
Yeah, Benny. Yeah, good old Benny. Because, so, I mean, I don't know what else to say about this guy. He's obviously a genius. Mm-hmm. He didn't finish high school.
Oh, yeah.
And he is a technical fucking genius.
And he's got money from somewhere. Like, he I guess, was an engineer or he must have been. Mm-hmm. And then is just, like, retired and semi-wealthy. But, like... Yeah, he's a genius, for sure.
And he lied about his age to get into World War II. He was like 15 or something and working on electronics in World War II.
Pretty amazing dude. I mean,
that is amazing, yeah.
I like how there's like reference to his wife being not around, and then it turns out she just divorced him.
Yeah.
But they talk about it like you're supposed to think that something happened to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, poor guy. She's like, nah, she couldn't handle my weirdness.
Yeah.
That's pretty much
he's
what
like,
it comes
she'd
down
come
to.
Home and find the kitchen on another side of the home. Like, that's it's so incredible. I mean, like, I've done some upgrades to apartments and homes that I've lived in, and you know, it's a lot of work, it's a lot of money, and to see what he did with his house, it's like, what the fuck, dude?
It probably was difficult to live with.
It's had to be.
Yeah.
And then, oh, Darlene, and she's like, he tries to teach me which button to push, and I always push the wrong button at the wrong time.
Oh, Darlene.
So many things he works on are like pretty much like. Are the right idea, and it's just like not the right time. Like, this things are like even like automating things like your blinds or your lights with your phone code. There's companies that's
dude,
all they're doing
the
right
internet
now.
Yeah. Of all the internet of things. That's so huge now. Like, if he had just
and his robotic stuff is like it's still impressive,
very.
Even though it's cheesy, but it's like it's still impressive,
of course. Yeah. Well, he didn't. Yeah, if he had had today's technology to make some of that stuff. One of my favorite stories in this entire thing is the ski ramp that he put onto his house.
Well, he's
down the roof, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a difference of, like, he's a hardware guy, and everything that's happening now is, like, software. You know?
Yeah.
It's like he's still dealing with industrial designs kind
of
things.
Yeah. His house is, like, an early trip to Tomorrowland at Disneyland. Like, it's... All those videos they show of Tomorrowland where they're like, plastic is the future.
Yeah,
you know?
Which was actually on the DVD extras, as you know, because have the DVD. Is there's entire like Monsanto's trying to push plastics in the home from like the 50s.
So great.
It's Monsanto.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, God, these are the people that make our food? What the fuck?
Yeah, they went to GMOs after that.
Yeah.
And then also there's a whole like psychic...
The
dark magic of Benny and Darlene.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting because I feel like usually when you find a person who's into hardware, who's an engineer, they're very like grounded in things, like tangible things they can hook up and see and feel. And so for him to also be into all this sort of like...
Right, hypnosis.
Yeah, metaphysical stuff is really interesting.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's true.
No, I think it's entirely interesting. And it's... Doing some research, I think you put a link, George, for this, is that he's...
His home has been... the home is no longer there.
Right.
And he is in a...
Hospice.
Yeah.
Yeah, hospice care with Alzheimer's. But what's awesome about the stories, though, is his nephew... So, like, his robot, that robot is in a college
it's
now.
It's now at the college.
And engineers that go to that college, part of what they have to do is try to get it to work again.
Oh, that's great.
That's a really cool idea.
It's interesting that he has Alzheimer's, too, though.
Right? How everyone kind of ends up is really, really interesting out of this doc, you know?
Yeah, that he is the one that he outlived Wild Bill is interesting. Like, he's alive as of this taping, you know?
Yeah. I'm curious what happened to the daughter of the bunker couple.
Yeah, that's true. That doesn't really... Oh, yeah. I don't know if there's a way to find that out.
She's in some death metal band or...
Yeah. She had to rebel at some point.
Totally.
Or she lives in just like a white picket, like a normal 1980s home.
She's just so happy to be above ground.
Yeah. With hippie parents, I don't know. Like, yeah, like they're like the doomsday hippies, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're paranoid.
Yeah, that's that libertarian thing that they're hippies. They smoke pot and they have a good time, but they don't want the government, they don't want the postal workers coming to their house.
Yeah.
Like dropping off stuff or any of that stuff. So, Amy, take a second, think about this, but George too, what would your ideal home be? If you are an architect and you get $1 million to build your own dream home, where would it be and what would it be like?
Any location?
Yeah.
It's interesting for me because I really do like to be in a city, at least now. Maybe that'll change for me. So I guess my ideal home would be like something that was big enough to... like design and feel like I'm not in whatever city I'm in, you know?
Yeah, right. So that's what rich people do, though, in big cities. They go to a mountain, they go up the hills.
Totally, but I don't even want to be up the hill. Oh, okay. I just want to be like you know, Dolly Parton has like a Central Park apartment, but it's like a penthouse.
Oh, okay.
So maybe that kind of thing, but if I could have like a hot tub inside, that would be really great.
Yeah.
I always pictured... I was really obsessed with Quantum Leap as a kid, which is probably why I like this robot guy. Because at whatever point they finally went to the present, which it was like 1999 or something. I was like, why didn't you guys shoot a little bit farther ahead just in case all this was crazy? But it is crazy. And just like Sam walking into his current day apartment and being like, TV on, lights on.
Right.
Like, I still want to do that.
Yeah.
Is that the final episode?
It's one of the, it's part of the finale.
Was that Scott Bakula?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Dean Stockwell.
Yeah, and Dean Stockwell.
Yeah.
A handsome Scott Bakula and a competent Dean Stockwell. Yeah. What a great show. That was a great show. Yeah, that's so just a hot tub, basically.
Hot tub. I want a lot of stuff automated.
Yeah.
And like a good deal of white noise.
Oh, right.
I would appreciate.
What colors? Do you like white furniture and white curtains kind of thing?
No.
It's classy.
I like things a little bit homier.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like more like, dark woods and... It's like going to your grandma's house or something.
Yeah. Were you guys ever like Frank Lloyd Wright kind of people? Did you like his design abilities?
He has a... I went to high school in Redding, California, and like he's got a lot of churches up there. For some reason, he just like went on a tear designing churches in the northwest of Northern California, like north of the Bay Area. And a lot of like stones... that he had people actually like gather up from the coast and dark woods and flying buttresses. Like, I like that kind of like medieval sort of dark candlelit feel for sure. But around the main living space in my house, I need a lot of light. Yeah. Otherwise, I will stay in bed forever.
Yes, exactly.
I wish I knew more about Frank Lloyd Wright. I know that house that's near my house, the Soden house, the George Hodel possible Black Dahlia murder house.
Right.
That's either, it's a Frank Lloyd Wright's son, so it's kind of like Frank Lloyd Wright-esque, but it's like really extravagant. Mm. That seems creepy as hell to me, though.
Right.
I had a friend in the Bay in Oakland, really near Rockridge, who had like a Julia Morgan home, I think. And I just really liked that, like, it was on a hill, so there was like a really cool backyard, but it just had, like really nice living room, a lot of built-in stuff. Like that, when I think of like, a nice house. It took me a while you're talking about all that. I'm like, what would be my ideal house?
Yeah.
Yeah, like sort of something along those lines. But I think it's also just the region and like just having a little bit of greenery. And like Rockridge is so nice over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
like the like built-in wood bookshelves and like a big fireplace with stones from that region.
It's
got to
be near water, right?
And I like my apartment now. Yeah. Like my apartment now is like pretty good. Yeah. It's pretty good.
The area of LA you live in is nice.
Yeah, like just that block, the end by Franklin is way nicer than the end by Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
George, are you saying that your dream home is your current apartment?
I think it is.
I feel like we loop around.
I don't like how thin the walls are. I dream small. No.
Bo is in AC/DC.
Pretty much. I'm pretty funny. Much. Australia. I'm kind of obsessed with Australia, small. But I don't think I'd want to live
this
there.
This is the message of this movie,
it
a
is,
little
it
bit.
It kind
of
is. I've been trying to find that message like all day. I've been trying to think of what Chris Smith is trying to get by with this display. He could have picked five different kind of people with five different kinds of homes. Like there is a theme here, and I kind of it is kind of that. I mean, that's the other thing I love about that is this was made in an era where they don't use a lot of text, that you don't see like you know the names of the people and the home, you know, it's just like Louisiana, that's it, and like Illinois. I like that. It's very sparse.
You have to clue into what they're actually saying so you can get to know them a little bit, but I think like it's a little bit of the anti Grey Gardens to me, or the anti Marwan Call, because they're dreaming small, but they're content. Like they're not documentary weirdos in the way that you feel bad for anyone in this movie.
Yeah, they're doing what they want.
That's the touch of a great documentary filmmaker, is that you don't feel pity. You don't feel like these dumbasses. Like it's you like it. I like all of these people. Mm-hmm. I would party hard with Wild Bill. Mm-hmm. I would enjoy a scotch with Benny.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I would do a drum circle.
Which is always an interesting byproduct of these documentaries that I love and think about a lot, which is that people watch it, fall in love with all of them. Meanwhile, they're like, I'm done with humans.
Yeah.
You know, I have nothing to offer. They have nothing to offer
very
me.
Astute.
And it's like,
no,
people want to know you.
Yeah, that's very astute. And you know, Amy, this is a nice little segue and also a plug, but on your comedy album, you are in an Airstream. You're in someone's home.
Yes, that I guess that would be my dream home if I could tuck an Airstream away in a city somehow.
Yeah.
So that I can get out at any time.
Right. But with like an awning and a pink flamingo.
Yeah.
Yeah, stuck in the ground.
Yeah, what's funny about that cover is I was like, it's weird when you have an idea for something creative and then you're like, why is this in my head? And you have to, especially in comedy, you're always like, have I heard this line before?
Right.
So I kind of did that with the cover where I was like, okay, I have this vision and I want to be like in a fancy dress, but in a trailer. And I'm like, I'm asking the photographers, have you seen this? Like, we really need to know before I put it. Mm-hmm. I looked at every comedy cover I could find.
Right.
Because I don't want someone to be like, oh, yeah, Amy Schumer did this or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Even the gold dress was a little bit like, is this your Schumer? And then, so we were like, no. And then I literally show up to shoot it and stick one of those flamingos in the ground. And I'm like, oh, it's divine. I'm just doing divine.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Pink
like
flamingos.
It's sort of a mix of like a Dolly Parton and divine homage, but it definitely was in my brain.
Wow. That's a great homage, too.
Because she's wearing all this makeup and a gold dress outside of the trailer.
You're
and pink
right.
flamingos.
You're
I'm just
right.
Like, well, that's fine. We'll call it an homage.
Yeah.
That works.
Solid Gold is the name of your album.
Yes.
And
on Kill Rock Stars.
Yeah, on Kill Rock Stars.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, they're a good friend of our show.
Awesome.
We've already, let's count it down real quick. Who have we talked
to? The Wimps were on the show. Sam McPheeters, who had done Men's Recovery Project, was on the label.
You have Hutch on.
Hutch Harris was on, I think.
Emily Heller.
Yeah, Emily was on our live show too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're
Amy.
Repping them hard.
Yeah, yeah, we're repping the Kill Rock
They're
Stars.
The best.
Hard. They are the best. And your album comes out in December.
On Black Friday in November, day after Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Right on.
Pretty much this week.
We'll yeah,
say.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Week. We'll say it's this week.
And thank you so much for it's funny, it's like when you brought Home Movie to my attention, I was like, I don't think I've seen that. And then I thought about it for a second. I'm like, is there a robot in that documentary?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's right. I used to love that documentary so much. And that's part of the what's kind of shitty, that video stores they just don't exist anymore. Because you could go to a video store and be like, recommend a good doc. I want, you know. And then,
Well, so Chris Smith should like put this out somehow. Maybe if he's on Twitter, people can bother him about it. Like
reissue.
It's nowhere. It's like it's incredible.
There's this new two of the other things that we were doing. They're on this website called like VHX. which is a way for people to do a paywall for streaming video. Oh. So I know like Hell House and the Superman movie were available on VHX. So maybe he needs to get into that. I imagine like it had a DVD release. So
there are copies for like $4 you can buy on Amazon or whatever. Used. That's how I got mine. But still, he should put it somewhere.
Did you? I was in Portland recently and I just wandered by the Clinton Street DVD store. Mm-hmm. Do you know that? I was so happy that was there because I looked in like, oh, they got all the new stuff on there.
It's the best. I hope people
still rent there.
I did before, up until I moved. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, there's nowhere in L.A., I think, unless you want to go all the way west side or something.
Cinefamily.
Yeah.
Or is that what it's called? Cinephile. Well,
Cinephile.
Cinephile. Yeah. You know, it's kind of worth it. We started doing it in my house.
There? Yeah.
Because we have the membership, so you can get, like, unlimited DVDs for $30 a month.
Wow.
With no late fees and no overage. And so, like, I mean, I have to go to West Hollywood sometimes anyway, so it's just like, oh, we'll stop into Cinephile, re-up our 4 DVDs. And
yeah, I'm a big proponent of the library. My girlfriend is a librarian, and I'm very close to Los Feliz Library, and just put stuff on hold.
That's how I got into documentaries to begin with. In college, I went to our local library, and their documentary sections were a quarter to rent.
Mm-hmm.
For a quarter, you could rent any documentary. And the first one I grabbed was Marjo. Which I don't know if you've ever seen Marjo, but it's another like kind of crazy Americana story. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Check that out.
So let's endorse Amy's album and the library.
Yeah.
Check out just killrockstars.com/solidgold.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, thank you, Amy.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
You can find episodes of SupDoc on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Please subscribe, review, and rate.
For show notes or more information about George and Paco's appearances, visit supdocpodcast.com. You can send your corrections, questions, or comments to supdocpodcast@gmail.com.
We'd also like to thank Documentary News for their continued support. Please check out documentarynews.com.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook @supdocpodcast.
This show is produced by Will Scovel and our theme music by David Siegel.